Father God, I just pray for Michael, Lord, as he shares the word with us, Lord. May you guide him, Lord. May he be your vessel, Lord, tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Great. Thank you, Michael.
Bless you. Thank you. Well, lovely to be back with you. I tell you what, you've got a very warm building here.
That's good.
Each time, it takes ages to heat up, and it's cold when people leave the door open. So it's nice to... I've even had to come down to my T-shirt. Hey? But anyway, praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but over these past few weeks, I've really sensed the Lord doing something new within the East Gateway Hub, within the churches, as we've been going back to the roots of really what the gospel of the, when the Jeffrey brothers, you know, was doing all the crusades and the original gospel that they preached, the four square gospel. I believe that the Lord is doing something fresh and something new through that as we revisit these core areas of what that means, of Jesus being Saviour, of Jesus being Healer, of Jesus being Baptiser, and Jesus being the coming King. We've had, I don't know about you guys, I can't speak for you, but I'm sure if I spoke to some of you that you'd feel the same too. You know, I've been at East Ham and we've had the previous week, there was a Muslim lady who came in, just walked in off the streets, and she just walked in and said, "Look, I need prayer for healing. I need healing," right? Just as we're preaching on Jesus the Healer, right? Comes in and she began to share, you know, her husband was, she was being abused by her husband and this type of thing, and she received a real touch from the Lord. I wasn't there, I was preaching in another church in Dagenham. I was over in Dagenham, preached there, and the Lord really moved, and there was a few people that received healing in that session too, and I received healing in my knee, so praise the Lord. You know, and just this morning, as I preached this message, which I preached this morning, there was another, funny enough, another Muslim lady who had come in, and she's just on them first steps of becoming a Christian. She's just been a Christian for a little while. And she came forward for prayer, and she was weeping down at the front. As she was receiving the Lord, this fresh touch of the Spirit, she was just weeping and weeping. And she said that she's never experienced what she felt in that service this morning. You know, so the Lord is doing something fresh amongst us. So guys, I just want to encourage you, be open to what the Lord wants to do in this season. Just open your hearts to receive something fresh, something new. Because the Lord is always at work. I don't know about you, but I need more of Jesus. Amen. I need more of Jesus in my life. Praise Jesus. Amen. Yeah, so Jesus the Baptizer. As I was looking and putting this word together, I came across that there's actually three types of baptism in the Bible, in the New Testament. There's John the Baptist baptism. There's water baptism, which Jesus went through as well, and we do in the life of the believer. And there's baptism in the Holy Spirit. Well, this is the one that I'm going to be staying with. I'm not going to be going too much into the others. But here we see in Luke 3:16, we read this. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." This is John the Baptist talking about Jesus. And just to hang on that for a moment, the first two baptisms involve water, right? But they are different. The baptisms with water, they symbolize repentance. They symbolize the washing away of sin. And the baptism in the life of the believer is a symbol of something that's already happened. That when we go down under the water, it's representation of us. And identifying, that's another word, but that identifying will do. We identify in his death. And when we come back up out of the water, we identify with his resurrected life. And we as a believer are resurrected. And the third that we're going to look at, the Jesus being a baptizer, this was not a baptism of water, but it was a baptism of fire. And this third baptism was fulfilled by Jesus on the day of Pentecost. It was a baptism of power. The fire of God in this moment symbolizes, we were just singing about it, it symbolizes God's refining work in each of us. And I don't know about you, but I need the fire of God in my life. I need the fire of God in my life to burn away all the stuff that is not of the Lord. I need the fire of God to refine me, to refine me and rid me of that dross that's in my life. And maybe you too as well. The sin, the bad attitude, the behaviours that are not becoming of the Lord. I need to get rid of them. You know, and I need the Lord. I need Jesus. I need the fire of God in my life just to purify my heart so that I can draw closer to the Lord. Because if my attitude and my behaviours and I'm acting in a way that is not pleasing to the Lord, then how can I draw close to Him? I want the Lord's fire to purify my heart that I may come closer to Him, that I may know Him more. And I love that this picture in Acts 2, that as we're seeing the fire of God fall, we can see these flames rest upon each believer in that place. That was the power of God resting upon them. Fire rests on the heads of all believers. And you know, I was reminded of this story when I was sharing this earlier about, I think it was a guy called John Ramirez who shared this story. He's an American evangelist who was discipled by David Wilkerson. And in his previous life, he was deeply involved in the occult, deeply involved in satanic worship. And he was a warlock, right? And this may be a bit deep for some, but I want us to recognize this in the spirit, right? So he used to put curses on people. He used to do spells, curses, witchcraft, really deep stuff, right? And he said that people used to come to him and to put curses on people. And he particularly, if someone come to him to put a curse on a Christian, then he would do it for free. He wouldn't even charge him, right? But he said that when he walked down the street or when he walked past a church, he used to look at them, and he said that he could look at them and he could tell those that were drawing close to God. He could tell those that were really seeking the Lord, because it was like their whole body was on fire. There was a flame that covered their whole being, right? And he could tell the ones that were weak in their faith, the ones that weren't spending time with the Lord. Because although they had a flame, it was very small. And he said, they were the ones that I used to go after, because they were easy targets. So this, I share that because I want us to recognize something in the spirit. We need the fire of God. We need the fire of God to spark a passion with us, to spark and fan into flames the gifts within us, and to purify our hearts and minds. There's another one there's another story by the same guy I don't know if we've heard of Nicky Cruz, who is the first guy into Teen Challenge and another disciple of David Wilkerson, funny enough. Gets about the old boy, doesn't he? Huh? but this John Ramirez, he heard that Nicky Cruz was doing a crusade, an open air crusade in New York, I believe it was, and he said, I've got to go along and put a curse on these guys, right? And he said that as he approached this crusade to put a curse on Nicky Cruz and all the people that were working with him, he said literally he was stopped. He was stopped because there was a ring of fire that was around this, the outside of their crusade. And he said that he could not go past that ring of fire. And it's my prayer every time, I pray for East Ham, and I pray it the same for this church now, that God would put a hedge of protection around this church, and that there will be a ring of fire around this church, that anyone who comes in would know and experience the fire of God at work in their lives, that the purifying work of the Lord would work on their hearts and their minds, and that their passion would increase, and that no evil shall befall this place. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's just, if you've got a Bible, turn to the book of Acts chapter 2. I'm just going to read the first few verses. For most of us, I'm sure we've heard this many, many times. And when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that rested, that tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And I want to remind us again this evening that in this verse, this is when the Holy Spirit was outpoured for every believer. And he rested upon everyone who calls upon the name of Jesus and that is saved. Every believer, this is available too. If you have turned to Jesus, if you have received forgiveness of him, if you have turned from your sin and are walking the life of Jesus, if you are born again, born of the Spirit, that means you are a child of God. And if you are a child of God, the Spirit comes and lives within you, comes and dwells in your heart. But more than that, if you are a child of God, then this is a gift for you. The baptism of the Spirit. The gift is the power of God that comes and rests upon every believer. If you are a child of God, this is for you. It's not just for those over there. This is for you. And I love Jesus, right? I just love Jesus that He fulfills his promises. Jesus is so faithful. He's so kind and gracious to us. And I love that Jesus is truth, right? I love the fact that he always comes through on his word, that he fulfills prophecy. Because this that we just read in Acts 2 is a fulfillment of prophecy. It's truth. And it's open to every one of us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If we could turn to Acts 19. And I love Jesus as well because, you know, he transforms the heart of every person that calls upon him. Every person that is open, he just comes into their lives and he just transforms them. He renews them from the inside out. He renews their minds, changes their hearts, just totally transformed. You can be living in one way and then God comes in, Jesus comes into your life and you have that encounter and suddenly you're completely different. He makes the weak strong. He makes the rejected feel that acceptance and knowledge that they are accepted. He makes the discouraged encouraged and have that sense of purpose and meaning to their lives. Jesus brings what is dead and turns it and makes it alive. And I say that because this, what we read of Apostle Paul, he was amongst the worst. He was amongst the worst. He used to kill the Christians and persecute God's church and God's people. Yet God's love is so much greater that he reached into Apostle Paul's heart, completely transformed it. Now, if he could do it with a man like that, he can do it in our lives too. If he can transform a man that's so zealous that he was literally kill Christians and order the killings of Christians to then transform this man and use him for the purposes of his kingdom, to send him out to share his gospel, not just in word, but in demonstrations of power. Man, that is a good God. Acts 19, 1 to 7, yeah. While Apollos was at Corinth,
Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. Then he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. They were about 12 men in all. Praise the Lord. What a prayer meeting that would have been, huh? But I love these guys here, because their hearts, you can see, is just truly open. You know, these guys in Ephesus, they were disciples of John the Baptist. And they would have been quite a way away from Jerusalem. So they wouldn't have heard of what Jesus had been doing. They wouldn't have heard about what happened at Pentecost. These guys were completely distant from all the things that were going on. Yet when they heard about Jesus, and when they heard about the Holy Spirit, they just wanted it, man. They just wanted it, and they're just so open to what God wanted. It's like, if this is from God, then I want it. And that, isn't that the attitude that we should have? If anything's from God, I want it, right? They wasn't even aware that there was a Holy Spirit. Sadly, I think this is also the case in many churches today and in the lives of many believers. I don't know if any of you know too much about asbestos.
I'm going out there, right? So asbestos was this wonder substance, right?
Back in a few years ago. It's completely banned now because of the health issues, but mind in some countries, right? But a few years ago, it was used because it is this wonder substance. You could use it for literally anything, but you could mould it into any shape. But it's particularly used with heating, right? And boilers and this type of thing, because it was so resistant to heat. It doesn't matter how you could turn the heat right up, and nothing, it just absorbed the heat. It wouldn't burst into flame, it would just absorb the heat, right? I believe that there's many asbestos Christians. That there's many asbestos Christians walking about today. It doesn't matter how close to the fire of God you get, nothing happens. I don't know about you, but I want to be a flammable Christian. I want to be so on fire for God. I want to be like John. I think it was John Wesley. He said, "I set myself on fire and people come from miles around to watch me burn." I want to be like that type of Christian. Hallelujah. I want to be so passionate for the things of God that people just catch it when they're around me. This is the type of Christian I want to be. Hallelujah. And this is what I see when I read these guys at Ephesus. As soon as they heard of the Holy Spirit, their hearts were open and they were ready to receive all that God had for them. How's your heart this evening? Is your heart open and ready to receive all that the Lord wants to give you? Or is it closed off? Because the beautiful thing is this, that when we read that Acts 2 at Pentecost, we can see this, the formal outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And in this, we see the commissioning of the disciples to go out into and share the gospel and be witnesses to the ends of the earth. Jesus baptized all the believers with fire in that moment, and they began to speak in other tongues and prophesy. Hallelujah. The gift of tongues and prophecy, these are outward and visible signs of a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, we call them the evidence of something that's going on, right? But what I see in this moment is there was a loudness to what was going on. God showed and demonstrated his power. And it was just messy. Sometimes when the Holy Spirit comes, it's messy. Mm. It's loud.
Right. And I want to see the Holy Spirit in this demonstration, right?
Some of us are too reserved. Some of us care too much about what others think. What if I begin to speak in tongues? Or what if I begin to, you know, what if I'm slain in the Spirit? What if I go down in front of everyone? And you're resistant. You're resistant to what the Lord wants to do. I remember when I received the baptism in the Spirit and I received the gift of tongues. I was in Team Challenge and we'd gone through this lesson. And we're standing in the classroom and we got into this circle. I can't remember what the teacher was. It's about spiritual gifts anyway. We just come to the end of it. And the guy leading it, he said, right, all you that anyone that can pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues, you pray in tongues and just lift your voice, right? And all those that could pray in the tongues began to lift their voices. And there was about three of us that couldn't speak in tongues, and we were standing together, you know. And I just said, Lord, I just want everything that you can give me. God, I want everything that you can give me. If this is a gift from you, I want it, right? And I just began to feel this something rise up in me. And I said, God, I just want all that you can give me. I just began opening my mouth. And I tell you, these words started to come out that I had no idea what they were. And it started off slow. And then it got faster and faster and louder and louder. I didn't care what the others think. I was receiving what the Lord wanted me to have. Right? Church, let's step out in faith. Amen. Let's apply faith to the things of God. And I clear this up as well. I'm a strong believer in this, that some people want God to do all the work when it comes to receiving these gifts, right? You must work in partnership with Him. Partnership. You must take a step of faith towards Him. You must call on Him. You must open your mouth, right? I've heard people say, well, if God wants to give me the gift of tongues, then He'll just give it to me. No. You have to open your mouth and you have to apply faith and then He will fill your mouth. Amen?
Amen.
It's like salvation. Jesus has done it all at the cross, right?
But it takes a step of faith from us to move towards Him to receive all that we have.
It's the same principle. Since that pouring out in Act 2, we can see throughout the book of Acts that it's just a continuation. God is uniting His people with the laying on of hands. He's given this experience and the baptism of the Spirit to every believer that's open to it, everyone who wants to receive it. And it's this uniting of the believers to have that same encounter. I remember this when I went on to South Africa. This is a few years back, and I've had encounters with the Holy Spirit since. I'll assure you, right? It's not been about 6 years ago, and I haven't encountered the Holy Spirit since. So I'm just going to clear that. But I share this because it's a faith builder, and for me, it marked me. It really marked me. I was over in South Africa the first time that I've been over there, and we went into again Teen Challenges in South Africa there, and. Story short, I preached, shared a message, and then got up and I said, I really feel that the Lord wants to bring healing to people in this place tonight. So I said it to the leader. And with that, he's gone, right, anyone who wants healing, it's a room like this, with about as many people. He said, right, anyone who wants healing, come forward. And literally everyone got up and came forward. So, Lord, okay. So anyway, we began to pray, and literally the Holy Spirit just came, and I got things, it was loud, and there was stuff going on everywhere. And I said, Lord, I'm out of my depth here. Anyway, I'm laying hands on people, just literally touching them, bang, they were going down, and the Spirit is crazy, it's the Lord. And I tell you, I was with my friend, and apparently he prayed the same thing as well, Lord, I'm out of my depth here. He said he put his hand on someone's stomach because they had pains in their stomachs, and he said they flew backwards. It was, I tell you, it was
Yes, the presence of God was so tangible. It was just messy. It was loud. It was beautiful. Anyway, it all settled down. It all settled down. And then we went and sat down. And
we was with another guy. And he went and spoke to the leader. And all of a sudden I hear this call. Right, if anyone's completed the program or coming to complete in their program, I want you to come forward and Michael's going to pray for you. So I got back up out of my seat and I began to pray for people. And again, the Holy Spirit has just come in another, a second wave. And again, it's, yeah.
How I desire this for each of us to experience the Lord's power and presence in this way. Lord, may you manifest yourself amongst us this evening. Lord, may we encounter you and experience you in a way that we cannot comprehend or understand. May our hearts be open for you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. The word baptizo, it's a Greek word for where we get it's the root word for where we get the word baptism from. And what this word means, it means to be completely immersed or submerged. The picture of it is this, the way that it's often been used is they have, when they used to dye cloths, they had a cloth that was one colour, it would be white or whatever it was, and they had these different coloured dyes in buckets, and they would dip this cloth underneath into this dye, and when they brought it up, it was a completely different colour. It had completely changed and transformed in when it was dipped under the dye. It's completely submerged and immersed in the dye. And as it come back up, it was completely changed, transformed in colour. And so it is with us. Every baptism that we receive is just a transition in the life of the believer. Water baptism is a symbol of and representation of us being transformed from death to life. And when we're baptized in the Spirit, it's a transition in the life of the believer to one from weakness to one of power and strength and grace. Amen. Baptism in the Spirit, it marks you, man. You're not the same. And as we come to a close, as I bring this message to a close, and we may have a time of ministry too, I want us to understand that after Acts 2, there was no waiting. There was no waiting about for the Holy Spirit because it had been given. There was no, that's another thing I hear often. Let's just wait. It's already come. We're to go. We're to receive the power, because when I read it in Acts, every time people were laid, the hands were laid and they would receive. Holy Spirit has already come in power. When we go out, when we share our faith, we're not to wait. We're to go out. We're to go to the ends of the earth and share the gospel, because when we receive this baptism, when we receive this marking, we are totally immersed and submerged in the presence of fire of God. And we need to step out and share that with other people. Although these moments are beautiful, when we become marked by God, it's for others. It's for us to step out and be witnesses in this world which is dark. As we are lit on fire for God, we step out into the darkness of this world and we shine bright. We are called lights of this world. Jesus the Baptizer. He not only comes so that we may receive forgiveness of sins, so that we may be healed, but he came so that we may receive power. If you are here tonight, and you're a Christian, and you feel weak, you feel powerless, I'm going to speak directly to you and say, don't believe that lie. Because God has made you powerful. I speak to you again and say, just receive. Open your heart tonight to receive the power of God at work in your life afresh. Because the thing is this, that many, many of us have good knowledge, but not so much encounter. And the wonderful thing about the baptism of the Spirit, it's not just a one-time thing. That we can come, if you hunger and thirst after Him, then we can come again and again and again and receive that filling, that filling, that filling. He wants us to be continually filled and saturated in His presence. Just take a moment to focus upon Jesus. If that means you need to close your eyes to block out the distractions, do so. Just begin to look at the beautiful face of Jesus. Just begin to thank Him. Maybe you've received healing recently. Maybe you've received something else. But just come to Him with a heart of thankfulness and gratitude in this moment. And if you've got nothing else to be thankful for, then thank Him that you're alive and you're here tonight.